All right, we're going to turn to Exodus 24. Thank you. Well, welcome, Sophia. Sophia says she's always in the nursery when I preach in the afternoon, so we have a visitor. All right, Exodus 24. I'm going to read verses 3 through 8 of Exodus 24. And Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments. And all the people answered with one voice and said, "All the words which the Lord hath said, we will do." And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord and rose up early in the morning and builded an altar under the hill and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the children of Israel, which offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen unto the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in the basins, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people, and they said, "All that the Lord hath said, we will do, and be obedient." And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people. Again, and Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, "Behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the Bible. We are thankful that the whole Bible is the revelatory truth of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one true necessary sacrifice for the redemption of our sins. We are so thankful that you loved us so much that you gave us 66 books of revelation so that we could come to your Son by faith. We're thankful for the truths that we're about to see here today, and I ask for your power and strength in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. And so, context-wise, we've been going through Exodus with Pastor, and so I kind of just jumped ahead a little bit and kept reading, and so that kind of led me here, and just the Lord put this particular passage, really, it's the verse 8 on my heart. So let me go ahead and just give you a quick context of Exodus. You know much of this, but we've seen the hardening of the heart of Pharaoh as he pursued the Israelites in the wilderness. We've covered that. The Israelites have seen the deliverance of the Lord in the Passover when the Lord spared the firstborn children of any household that by faith put the sacrificial blood over the door of their house. The Israelites have enjoyed the provisions of the Lord. The Lord guided the Israelites through the wilderness with a miraculous pillar of fire. And every time I look at this particular great miraculous wonder, I think of Aaron Strauss and taking the book of Hebrews with Don White, and he brought out that pillar of fire from Hebrews chapter 6. And I had to stop because I had just gotten saved maybe 2 months before that. And I had to say, "Dr. Aaron, are you serious? There was a real pillar of fire?" And he said, "Yes, it was a real pillar of fire." So anyways, the Israelites were following the pillar of fire by night. And of course, the pillar of smoke by day. Israel had just seen the Lord deliver them once again as God split the Red Sea and led Israel through the sea on dry ground. Pharaoh was destroyed as he pursued Israel. The Lord closed the Red Sea upon Pharaoh and his armies. The Lord continues to provide for Israel, even in the face of their murmuring. God gives the Ten Commandments to Moses on Mount Sinai, and Moses communicates God's will for the nation of Israel, and Israel says, collectively, they will do God's will. And that's pretty much where we are here in chapter 24 and verse 8. But I stopped at verse 8 because I want to focus on what is called the Mosaic Covenant. This is the Mosaic Covenant. And so we'll do a little bit of back and forth between some of the sacrifices in the Old Testament. But it is interesting that God continued to give the Jews more and more revelation as they worked their way from Genesis all the way up to here now, the Mosaic Covenant, as God is about to give Moses all of the patterns, figures, and shadows of the temple or of the tabernacle at that time, pointing, of course, to the one true sacrifice. And so God gives Moses the pattern, a blueprint for the tabernacle through the Levitical priesthood. So in verse 24:8, Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, "Behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words." He's giving them all of the law, all of the patterns, all of the shadows, and he's ratifying this covenant with blood. With blood. And I want to focus on the blood today. So as we continue to go through, let's take a focus upon the blood. So in Exodus 25:40, if you take a look at 25:40, it does say there, "And look that thou make them after their pattern, which was showed thee in the mount." And so the Lord gave Moses a pattern, a blueprint to follow, to set up the tabernacle in the wilderness. Exodus 26:30 also says, if you take a look at that, "And thou shalt rear up the tabernacle according to the fashion thereof, which was showed thee in the mount." And so we see that Moses is following the direction off from Mount Sinai, where he met with the Lord, to put together now what would be called the Mosaic Covenant, a covenant that God has made with the nation of Israel, and how he wants to be worshipped, how he wants to be followed. But we know what it all points to. And so we can go over also to Exodus, 1 Chronicles 28, if you want to turn over to 1 Chronicles 28. It also says there in verse 11, "Then David gave to Solomon, his son, the pattern of the porch, and of the houses thereof, and of the treasuries thereof, and of the upper chambers thereof, and of the inner parlors thereof, and of the place of the mercy seat." And verse 19 says, "All this, said David, the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me, even all the works of this pattern." And so the Lord is merciful, he's gracious, he continues to bless a disobedient nation, and he brings forth more truth, more patterns, figures, and we see the faithfulness of Moses, and we see the faithfulness of David, as God continues to give more revelatory truth for his people, ultimately for the redemption of his people. And so the pattern points to a better system. It points to a better sacrifice. And Stephen bears witness of this, of the Mosaic Covenant also in Acts 7. If you turn over to Acts 7, Stephen, in his great sermon in Acts 7, taking a look at verse 44, "Our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, as he had appointed, speaking unto Moses, that he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen." And so Stephen is preaching to a rebellious, lost nation of Israel. This covenant community of this day has really gone into apostasy, but yet God keeps sending truth to his people. It started in the beginning. It went through the Mosaic Covenant. David wanted to set up the temple. He could not. Solomon brought it forth. All that we needed for faith, and obviously the perfect sacrifice, was there. If we turn over to Colossians 2:17, because I gave you guys the reference, you're going to get there before me, but 2:17, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And so we see that the culmination of everything that God has given us through the whole of the Old Testament, all the covenants leading up to the, of course, the final covenant, the New Testament, leads to Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is the culmination of all things. He is the meaning. He is the purpose. He is our redemption. He's what's necessary for us. If you take a look at also Hebrews 9, you can't go down this road without taking a look at the book of Hebrews. One of these days I'm going to go back into Hebrews, but I've been purposely staying away from it because I enjoy this book so much. And so 9:23 says, it was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God himself for us. And so we see that all these patterns, these shadows, these figures, all pointed to Jesus Christ. And that was the purpose of the Mosaic Covenant. It was more revelatory truth given to the nation of Israel. They now, and always did, even from the desire of women, but now they had more specifics on what they were looking to in the Old Testament. They were looking to the coming Messiah. And this, all of those candlesticks and bread and everything that was in the tabernacle all gave revelatory truth about their Messiah and what he was. And then we take a look at Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 1. It says, for the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. And so the high priest, the Levitical high priest, would go once a year, he'd go into the Holy of Holies and give sacrifice for the people once a year, but it had continued year after year after year, pointing to something better. Hebrews 7:22, if you take a look at that, by so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And so testament really is covenant. Jesus ratified the covenant of the New Testament, and he did that by his blood. And we'll find out here that the covenant, the Mosaic covenant, was ratified by blood. It is necessary to have blood to ratify these covenants. And now I want to just kind of make a shift and take a quick look at blood throughout the rest of this sermon. Hebrews 8, if you take a look at that, Hebrews 8, verse 6, but now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises, if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. And so all of these revelatory truths that are given to the second covenant community of the book of Hebrews, they had no excuse. They had everything that they needed for salvation. And they saw the blood and the use thereof to ratify these covenants. So God's covenants must be ratified with blood. Ratify means to sign or give formal consent to a treaty, a contract, or an agreement, making it officially valid. Blood was necessary to confirm and validate the people's reconciliation and agreement to keep the Mosaic covenant. And so the blood is very, very important. It is the key to all things. The blood. And I don't know if we ever take that really too seriously at this point. We tend to forget about that. But when we got saved, we realized what had happened. It was our blood that was required. I don't know if you realized that when you got saved, but it was our blood which was required. The blood that's inside your body, that was required as payment. And Jesus Christ, of course, came and gave his blood for us. So we are created in God's image, but unlike the angels, we are a soul. So if you take a look at Genesis 2, turn over to Genesis 2. It says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." These covenants, everything that happened even before the Mosaic covenant, all pointed to blood. Blood was the absolute necessary element in order to cover our sin. We are a soul. We are flesh and blood. Spirit makes a soul. That's who we are. In order to pay the price for our sin, blood must be shed. Blood must be shed. When Moses sprinkled the blood on the people, do you think there was impact there? Have you guys ever seen blood? Have you ever seen blood? Sophia sees blood. I don't want to see blood. That's why I'm not in the hospital. But she is. Some people can look at it. I get a little queasy, especially if I see. Blood is meant to make impact. So the Lord, well, let's continue. The incarnation was necessary to save the soul. 1 Timothy 3:16 says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." The Lord Jesus Christ's blood is the key to our salvation. Exodus 24:8 says, "And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people, and said, Behold, the blood of the covenant, which the Lord hath made with you concerning these words." God gives the Mosaic covenant as a temporary means of atonement to deal with the people's sin. Without the blood, there is no atonement. Okay? Exodus 30:10 says, "And Aaron shall make an atonement upon the horns of it once in the year with the blood of the sin offering of atonements. Once in the year shall he make atonement upon it throughout our generations. It is most holy unto the Lord." Don't forget what we're talking about here. We're talking about blood. Have you ever seen blood? I've been, since Pastor's been going through the book of Exodus, I've been looking at the tabernacle and the illustrations, and also YouTube has some excellent, I don't watch YouTube, but in any case, they have some excellent renderings, video renderings of what the temple was about, how it was up on the mountain, all this, and that was a big deal. I don't know if you guys have ever put yourself there, but this sacrifice and what was going on with the nation of Israel at that time up on the table where they made the sacrifice, all of that, it was messy. But it was a place of honor for them to be. This was a serious, serious affair. God is very serious. Very serious. And when I got here to the Mosaic Covenant, it just in some way grabbed me with the blood. And I don't know, it just took me to think about this blood and how we are flesh and blood and how we will always be flesh and blood. The Mosaic Covenant comes after the sacrifice in the garden. Okay, and so if we look at Genesis 3:21, Genesis 3:21, what do we see? Genesis 3:21 says, "Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them." And so I see a few things here. I see, number one, an impact here. This had to have been the first time that Adam and Eve saw blood. It had to be. Blood, as I've tried to explain to you guys, as I've tried to explain to you, is impactful. It is the most impact. Can you think of anything else that occurs in your life that doesn't make more impact than your own blood? When a child cuts their finger for the first time and they see even the smallest amount of blood, what do we get? We get a response of where you hear that cry and you know it's the real cry. It's not the fake child cry that I want. No, they see blood. See, God is trying to make impact here on Adam and Eve. He slayed that sacrifice in front of them. He cut the throat of that animal in front of them. That's what's happening in the context of Genesis chapter 3. They saw blood for the first time. And so this blood, to them, was associated with death. Now think of the impact that this would have had on Adam and Eve. I see a second thing here. I see that what the Lord did with Adam and Eve was instructional. Adam and Eve were, God had their attention. They now needed a covering. They needed something they never needed before. Their eyes were open to what they had done. If you take a look at Genesis 3, verse 4. "And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired, to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden." For the first time, as we've been taught so eloquently here at Bible Baptist Church, for the first time, their eyes were open and they felt fear, guilt, and shame. They now needed a covering for their sin. They needed a way to be right with God. They needed a way to have a good conscience towards God. Something to save them from the penalty of the sin and to have peace with God. All of this in Genesis 3, when God clothed them with those skins. The blood. A good conscience towards God is the key to a victorious Christian life. But in order to be a Christian, you must be impacted. Adam and Eve were impacted by the blood. Acts 24:16 says, "And herein do I exercise myself to have always a good conscience, void of offense toward God and toward men." So Adam and Eve were instructed how to satisfy God temporarily with the shedding of blood. Blood. Right in the beginning. Right after sin. Blood. The Mosaic covenant provided a temporary covering for sin. It pointed to something better. Hebrews 9:9, what were they thinking, the priests? Hebrews 9:9. I will tell you, the book of Hebrews ties everything that we learn from the Old Testament together. It's so wonderful. This book, if you're going to major in a book, you have to come here. Hebrews 9:9. Which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience. And so the high priest, as he went in one time a year to make that sacrifice, he knew. He knew how imperfect this sacrifice was. He knew. Verse 14 says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, the blood, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. The Jews have been given all this revelatory truth throughout the beginning of Genesis all the way till now. They're still going to the temple, placing their hands on that bloody sacrifice. And the Bible's saying here, that is not going to do it anymore. It's just not going to cover your sin. You need the correct blood. You got the wrong blood. Hebrews 10, if you take a look at Hebrews 10, starting in verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. It pointed to something. For then, would they not have ceased to be offered if it was perfect and they had the perfect conscience? Because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. God is a merciful God. When he set up the Mosaic Covenant, this clearly pointed to something better. Clearly. No man is left without an excuse. Left with an excuse. Go to 1 Peter 3:21. First Peter 3:21 says, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but a answer of a good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so for we here at Bible Baptist Church, Jesus Christ is the final sacrifice. By our repentance and turning in faith to Jesus Christ's blood, that it's good enough to save us from all our sin, we have a good conscience. We can have a good conscience. There's no question, we're not waiting anymore. We have the full revelatory truth. We are very privileged. Now, in the book of Hebrews, for that second generation of Jews, they had no excuse. And they had to face the eternal wrath of chapter 6, verse 1 through 4. But we don't. We don't. By our faith in the blood, we are sealed. We have salvation. It is finished. The canon is closed. Faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ takes care of the sin problem, providing us with everything we need to have, to live a victorious life over sin in our lives. Keep your mind and eyes focused on Jesus Christ's sacrifice, on his blood. Don't let that become less impactful to you. The impact of blood in the Bible, it is mentioned from Genesis all the way through here in Peter. It is the necessary element to get our attention, to bring salvation. Colossians 1:19 says, "For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell." Verse 20 says, "And having made peace through the blood of the cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say whether they be things in earth or things in heaven." Jesus Christ shed blood on the cross has reconciled all things unto him. Not just you and I, flesh and blood, this earth. The creation. Ever since Adam and Eve sinned, the creation fell. Everything is fallen. His shed blood brought everything unto him. He is currently in the process of redeeming it. The earth moans, it groans, it waits. How powerful is Jesus Christ's blood? Think about that. Thomas put his hands in the wounds. Abel trusted in the sacrificial system of the garden and provided a proper sacrifice. Genesis 4:4 says, "And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering." Blood. Even Abel knew it. Blood. The necessary element that would lead to the redemption of the world. Exodus 24:8. "And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, Behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words." What a wonderful day that must have been for the nation of Israel to know that they had a covering and that they would be able to meet with God in the tabernacle. What a glorious day. What a gift given unto the nation of Israel. And I think it was just weeks before that they were complaining about food. And this is after he splits the Red Sea. And we are just such lost sinners. We forget about the blood. However, this Mosaic covenant is paralleled in Matthew 26. Matthew 26 and verse 27 says, "And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." When we observe the Lord's Supper here at Bible Baptist Church, we think about the blood. We're focused back to the blood, the sacrifice that was made for us. So important. That's why God had instituted that into the local church for us to continue to remember. Don't forget the blood. Jesus Christ's blood is the New Testament, the ratified covenant. That's what it is. The New Testament, or a new testimony from the God-man, Jesus Christ, our Lord. You see, turn over to Leviticus 17, and I'll close with this. Leviticus 17 and verse 11 says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul." We are a soul. We are flesh, blood, spirit. It is the blood. Don't lose focus on the life-saving, supernatural, eternal blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's the one that made the sacrifice. He made it possible because of my salvation in his blood, to sing, I will see you in the sweet by and by. It is all because of Jesus Christ that I'm going to see my wife again. What a great God. How powerful is that blood? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the opportunity to bring forth my heart before this assembly. My heart fixed upon these great truths that you've given us throughout 66 books of your word. Oh, gracious God, I pray that I divided your word appropriately and that you were glorified. May you be glorified with the rest of the service as we continue, and just look forward to fellowship later. It's in Jesus Christ's name that I pray. Amen.